Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for the next 90 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. Once again, our main focus is on the Hayley Cummings case, and there's been a number of interesting developments this week.
Yes.
Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hello, everyone.
From New York, we have crime writer and author Denny Griffin. Hi, Denny. How's it going?
Fine, Simon. Hi to you and hi to the rest of the panel.
And you might get a giggle out of this. My wife made the remark, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that I'm beginning to hang out with as many bad people as you do.
Good observation.
Very good, very good one.
From Florida, we have investigator William Cobra Storbs. Bill, it's always good to talk to you.
Simon, likewise, and likewise to the rest of your panel, especially the Godfather, Mr. Hartman, Jan, and we can't forget the dadgum, that's the criminal you're talking to, Denny. I think he's undercover still.
it could be. Also from Florida, Gainesville, actually, we have the director of news for the Sky 97.3, T.J. Hart. T.J., it's great to talk to you again.
It's great to be sitting down for 5 minutes. It's been a busy week.
Oh, it certainly has. And from California, we have Leonard Padilla with us. Leonard, I'm so glad that you were able to join the show today.
So am I, because I think I bring something to the show today, and with the Dugard girl being found after 18 years, that just reaffirms that if you never give up, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Very good.
I think it's just certainly a godsend that she was found, and hopefully this will renew efforts on behalf of other missing children and adults.
As always, our switchboard is open, and we welcome your questions and comments. Our switchboard number is area code 646-378-1120. We also have our chat room open, and you're welcome to ask your questions in there if you're too shy to talk to us bad people. Actually, before we launch into the Hayley Cummings story, and there has been a lot happening in that case this week, I want to very quickly touch on the Casey Anthony story. There was a hearing last week that likely has Jose Baez in a bit of a tiz.
Mm-hmm.
Leonard Padilla and the rest of his people's testimony has been ruled admissible. Leonard, do you have any comments about that?
Well, I think from the first day we met Jose, he knew what the ground rules were. Basically, he set them. One of the things that I stated to him was not to expect us to be part of the immunity situation unless he paid us each a dollar. Once we were in his employ, there possibly could be an employee-employer relationship, which would keep our whatever we saw, whatever we discussed, from the evidence purview. However, my nephew, even at that point, said, no, I'm not going to get involved in that because I'm a bail agent. I can't risk my license. So the situation was that, okay, we're independent contractors, and we have no immunity under the attorney-client privilege, and we went forward with that thought. The contract or the basically the statement that we drew up was he didn't want us to have any benefits of money coming from a movie or a book situation, and he didn't want us to be able to in any way, shape, or form infringe on our constitutional rights, which we as individual actors, not state actors, it's almost impossible to infringe on a person's constitutional rights. So we went along with that. That wasn't a problem. But he knew what the rules were all along. He knew it to the point where he didn't want her discussing anything with any of us. If it had been privileged and he thought it was privileged, he'd have never prevented her at times from discussing things with us when he'd catch her talking to us. So even as far back as then, he knew there was no privilege, and that's why he didn't want her in a room by herself with us or talking to us.
Mm.
So I think the judge had no choice but to rule the way he did.
Oh, and I agree. I think Strickland made a very solid judgment. I also heard that Baez is going to be filing another motion to get the murder charges dropped, citing lack of evidence.
That's well, Andrea Lyons.
What's her name's investigator? She's out of DePaul University in Chicago.
Right.
In fact, in less than an hour, I'm meeting with one of their attorneys and the investigator because they are putting that motion together, and they have some questions that they wanted to go over as far as what maybe she had said that would exculpate her from a murder charge. I don't know what the rest of the questions are or the rest of the conversation that they have, but that was a large portion of it, that they want to see if there's anything that we possibly have that might help exculpate her from a murder charge.
Mm. I find that really interesting. I mean, it boggles my mind, in fact. The other ruling was Tim Miller of Equisearch is being forced to hand over volunteer records, which in my mind is a huge fishing expedition. I mean, a complete waste of everyone's time and effort.
Let me jump in here, Simon. Back, way back in September and October, I made statements on the Nancy Grace show that somewhere along the line, Jose Baez would attempt to state or to prove that the body was placed there while she was in custody. Now, this isn't something that I heard him discussing or heard her discussing, but it just seemed like a natural for him, with some of the activities that he was carrying on, that he would attempt to say she was in custody at the time the body was placed there. Now, the timeline that has been put together by the body farm and the FBI is pretty tight. It's going to be difficult for them to argue against botanists and people that can tell you that a plant grows through the rib cage or something like that with a certain amount of timeliness. So it's going to be difficult for them to go at. The thing I think they're eventually going to get around to is Kronk. They're going to say that Kronk was, in fact, somehow tipped by law enforcement or affiliates. He's already stated to his own family that his girlfriend, who works at the sheriff's office, told him where the body was. And this was back after the big search and prior to Thanksgiving. So at that time, he stated he knew where the body was. It was just too much water, and he was waiting for the water to go down, which is true. In November, there was a lot of water in there. The statement they also made to his parents was that his girlfriend had told him where the body was. So where he was mistaken was he was off by about 100 feet because where he was keying from, the tiles he was keying from were the wrong set of tiles. And if you look at his conversations, listen to them very carefully, and you take the map of that area. There, we went there and we mapped it, every square foot, and photographed it. So we know exactly that there's no pool cover. It's a tent. It's an awning. It's an umbrella is what it is, the green and white object. The tree that's fallen down that somebody cut on, the whiteboard, these things are all 100 foot off, same as the private detectives. They were off by 100 feet. I think eventually Baez is going to key on that and say, hey, look, somebody overheard my conversation with my client. Now, that's a big step for him to take.
Oh, yeah.
Big step. But let's say that a deputy at the jail overheard the conversation between him and his client. What are the ramifications?
Big ramifications. And has a huge effect on the court case. I need to just ask, is this Art Harris that has just called in?
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
Art, how wonderful.
How are you?
Thanks
for
talking to you.
Thanks for continuing to invite me. I've just been traveling. It's really been tough. Thank you.
You're on vacation, I hear.
A little of both. No, not exactly.
I just want to say something to you real quick before they change focus there. I think Baez, the best piece of information, if I was Baez's investigator, to go right now and talk to the Godfather about, I would forget all that other nonsense, who put the body where and this, that, and the other. I would just go back and say, hey, she fell in the poo. Would you agree? That's it. It's accidental death.
That would be the thing that would get her a $500 illegal burial fine.
You got it. And I think you could substantiate it. I think I can substantiate it. I think half the investigators that work in the case can substantiate it. She freaked the fuck out, didn't know what to say, duct taped the little mouth, put her in the bag, put her in there, and flipped out.
And she duct taped her because she didn't want the little bugs to crawl in her nose or her mouth. And
right.
The chloroform comes from a combination of pool cleaner and urine in the diaper.
That's right, brother. Don't take us chemists very long to figure that shit out, but that's what I would go. I would stay on that road and beat that road down because that's what really happened, truth be known.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens as this case unfolds. Okay, let's move on to the Hayley Cummings story. It certainly has been an interesting week.
Say the
PJ,
least.
PJ, why don't you bring us up to speed?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, it was actually on Haley's birthday on the 17th of August, I do believe, the Putnam County Sheriff's Office put out a press release. And in that press release, there were some very key statements. Other than saying, yes, we're all working very hard and hoping to get this resolved, they added this was not a stranger abduction. Many people already believed that to begin with. Not a big surprise. Also, anyone who wants to help with the search for Hayley may do so within the parameters of their legal authority, recognizing Texas EquiSearch and Mark Najami and several others who'd asked to be a part of searches as long as they didn't violate any laws. Also, there came the request for anyone in the public who may know anything of Misty Crosland Cummings' whereabouts the nights of Hayley's abduction to come forward with information to police. I pointed that out on the Nancy Gray show a couple of days later, and that, ever since then, the heat has apparently been on, and Misty has been feeling the pressure. From all the information I've been able to gather, she sought polygraph and other methods of trying to clear her name through Tim Miller with Texas EquiSearch. Now, Tim doesn't do polygraphs, but he did know people who did do such things, so he made that arrangement with a panel of professionals, including T.J. Ward. And these people took this set of test polygraph voice, layered voice stress analysis, and a couple of others. I think hypnosis was one of them, too, over a two-day period. Misty fails with flying colors. She flunked, and flunked badly. And I do have, boy, I tell you, the messages are coming in pretty fast here today, too, so I might be peeling away for just a little bit. But you saw anywhere from a 99% failure rate to a 46% failure rate, depending on one of the four questions that were asked. And some of the questions, if I can just cue up some audio here, I'm going to try to play this down the line, and hopefully you folks can hear this at home over the telephone. This probably won't be the best audio quality, but it is what I have for right now in my little home office. This is Tim Miller reading the questions and the answers.
Did you intentionally withhold any information regarding Hayley's disappearance? Her answer was no. She failed it miserably with a 99% deception. Do you know what happened to Hayley? She answered no again. It was 99% deception. Third question was, do you know where Hayley is now? She answered that no. It was 95% deception. Fourth question was, do you know who took Hayley? She answered no, and it came back 42% deception.
Now, that caused a little bit of a row amongst some of the folks on that panel because some wanted to question further other than what was taken care of in the polygraph. And there was a surprising comment made by Misty that Miller passes on to First Coast Television.
She said it seems like maybe it was a dream or something, but it seems like maybe I remember like four people or something. Maybe I thought I was dreaming or something.
And in my possession, I have, and I cannot release this until further word from law enforcement. We do have, with the help of a very great and powerful friend, some audio of who may have been in and or around that trailer during the time period in question, and whether or not Misty may or may not have been there. So I'm going to have to, that's been all turned over to law enforcement. We're going to see what happens with that from here on out. Now, here's also some things that have happened, too. There was a search that took place on Saturday. It was a tract of land behind the home near where the family lived, where Ronald, Ron Jr., Haley, and then the then babysitter, now wife, Misty Crosland Cummings, lived at the trailer in Hermit's Cove, just north of Satsuma. And it was near where a plastic rose was believed to be placed. And this is something that just basically came out of a conversation, and the folks from EquiSearch and some volunteers took it upon themselves to get the proper permission to go out and conduct the search, and they did so yesterday. It was pretty hot, I got to admit. There were several, quite a number of people, so anywhere from, I guess, 30 to 60 people that were involved in that search at last count. Now, the Putnam County Sheriff's Office did not participate in the search. However, they observed, and they observed carefully. They have not given out any kind of statement whatsoever regarding that search. After all, it wasn't their search. They just pretty much observed. Another thing that happened was Friday night. Misty's brother, Tommy, was brought in for questioning by the Putnam County Sheriff's Office after a statement she made that indicated he might have some knowledge into that abduction. And Captain Dominic Piscatello was the fellow who was being questioned on television. And I do believe this was News Jackson. This is First Coast News. And sequence tells of all of the situations that brought this about, and just about how hard and how tough this has been, and the fact that it was about 2 hours worth of questioning. Here's the audio. And this is First Coast News.
Derek Spivey is at the Sheriff's Department there, where investigators just finished interviewing the step uncle of little Haley Cummings, Tommy Crosland. Eric, what do you know?
Shannon, I want to bring in immediately, we don't have a lot of time, but Captain Dominic Piscatello, you were leading the interviews with Tommy Crosland and his wife. Well, what ground did you cover? You talked with Tommy for almost 3 hours.
That's correct. You're all aware of the videos that you saw from Texas EquiSearch. We covered several issues from that tape.
How was he in those interviews? Because flat out, Misty was saying that she thinks her brother was involved. Was he cooperative during the questioning?
Extremely cooperative. I'm not going to get into what he was telling us, although we're happy with the fact of what he's told us, and we're confident that we can let him go home this evening and there's no further issues with it.
You've talked to him several times. Is this just you need to keep going over the same information, hoping that something else comes up, or how do these proceed?
That's correct. We want to turn over every leaf and every stone to bring Haley home. That's the most important thing here. And any piece of information out there that we get, we follow up on, we turn it over, again, and we do everything we can to bring Haley back home. That's the bottom line.
And kind of just wrapping up, are you concerned at all that the Texas EquiSearch getting involved, this squabble between the two sides of the family, are you worried that this is distracting from the ultimate goal of finding Haley?
We find it important that anybody that can give us information, as we said a couple of weeks ago, anybody with information in this case that can give that information to us so that we can go forward, we ask for it. So.
And that is Captain Dominic Piscatello. Again, I apologize a little bit for the audio quality because I am trying to hook this in through a telephone. I don't have a professional soundboard as I would if I were at the radio station at this time. But that's what we've got going so far. I did ask people in an op-ed piece that I posted on BNN today to please consider these possibilities. Suppose Misty... Let's go back into her life so far, what we've learned. She tells people she was sexually abused at the hands of family members at a young age. She lacks an education. She describes her parents as drug users. She sees her life has not been good so far and not going to get any better. Claims she's even at one time had to live out of cars. Now, ponder this possibility as it relates to this case. And I'm only saying this as an angle to challenge your own theories and to challenge your own thoughts and just to challenge a lot of things. This is nothing that is based in fact, nothing that is purely based in fiction either. It is just a series of thoughts. Suppose someone Misty had come in contact with the night of the abduction, pulled a weapon on her. Put yourself in that place, you're 17. These are just suppositions, okay? suppose this person or persons told told her that she and or Haley would be killed if she said anything. Okay. Now, suppose you're that 17-year-old girl who'd been abused in the past, and now this is happening to you front and center. Suppose you fear your fear of getting killed is suddenly your biggest concern on earth, supersedes anything and everything. Suppose you don't have the intellectual resources at your command to be able to inform authorities without getting yourself killed. Now, I'm not saying that these are excuses, and nor would I ever infer that these are excuses for anybody from telling the truth. I'm just saying please ponder the possibilities. Perhaps Misty doesn't need a lawyer or jail time, or perhaps another polygraph right now. Perhaps she needs an advocate to maybe help her bring her along with these inconsistent stories. Just think about it from this angle for just a little bit.
Okay.
And keep watching because the story is unfolding quickly. I'm sorry for the time, Simon.
DJ, I hate to cut you off, but I'm
done.
I do know that Leonard is on a bit of a tight time scale.
Sure.
He has to go play nice with the Baez people.
I'm sorry, Leonard.
No, not a problem, TJ. And I agree with you. I think that she needs more of a, you call it an advocate. I say she needs a friend right now. I mean, she turned to Tim and those folks. I think she thought there was a certain amount of, I can trust these folks. Now she's obviously upset about that. I think she needs somebody other than the people that she's been talking to talk to and say, look, here's what happened, and I don't know what to do with this.
Got any suggestions?
Right,
got any suggestions for a friend?
Well, I think I could make a play for it because I think ultimately what we want to do is find Haley.
Yes.
I don't think putting her in jail is going to do any good, whether she was involved or not. I think finding Haley is the main thing, and I think she's got some answers that she could come up with as long as she figured that the person wouldn't divulge them. Now, the thing about it is, with Casey, I never told her that I wouldn't repeat anything that I heard from her. With Haley, I'm willing to make that statement that I will not repeat anything that she tells me to law enforcement if it was incriminating to her. But the main thing right now is to find out what happened and hope that that leads to recovering Haley.
You got my vote. Godfather.
Right. And I think I can second that. I know that family members listen to this show. If you have information, if you contact myself, I'm easy to find at www.bloggernews.net or TJ Hart or any of us.
Well, my thinking was that if she's willing to discuss something with me, I will fly her somewhere. I don't think she has a movement restriction right now. And discuss the situation with her so that we can come up with the best answer to recover Haley without her going to jail.
Exactly.
Right. So the bottom line is contact us. And we will get Leonard to call. We're not asking for anything. We're not out for retribution. All we want is to bring the little girl home.
I'll second you. How about that, Simon?
I gotta believe that she wants to talk to somebody, but she's concerned about the retribution from it.
Yeah.
And I think, as I say, I'm not criticizing Tim Miller. All I'm saying is that I don't think she expected that, and therefore now she's really curled up in a shell. But like I said, if she'd like to meet me somewhere, let me know. We'll fly her there, talk to her, and do so, providing an attorney for her if she wants or whatever. She so desires. I don't know if she would be better protected if we met in Canada to where it's out of the country and the U.S. has no jurisdiction.
That's what I would do.
I'd like to talk to her.
Simon, Ms. Hart, can I ask one other question? Because it has all the earmarks of someone who is almost suffering from Stockholm Syndrome, being around, almost having to live with captors who have allegedly abused her over the years. I mean, she's really, she comes across as someone who is very fragile and fearful. I mean, I covered the Patty Hearst case years ago. Why would an upper crust, well-raised young woman suddenly help terrorists rob a bank and don garb of a revolutionary and hold an AK-47. What makes people do that sort of thing? And they brought in experts to analyze what happens when people who feel that they are under the thumb of others in a forced, fearful situation adopt almost this syndrome where they give people and say will do anything that their guards tell them to do or think they want them to do, and then it takes a while to come out of that shell, as Leonard is saying. Is that what you're saying, Leonard, that maybe we're dealing with?
Yeah, it does, and I'll tell you, it goes further than that. Some of the people that were running around with Patty Hearst and that group back in those days, unbeknownst to me, I was in the nightclub business, and there was a few of these young ladies that used to come down there and say, hey, can we wash the dishes, can we clean the tables after lunch and all that, and give us a meal? We'd say, okay. Well, a lot of those people now, their names jump up every now and then, like Sandra Good and Squeaky Foam and that bunch. They were right here living in Sacramento, less than 4 blocks away from where my nightclub was. So you see Patty Hearst involved in the Crocker Bank robbery out here, and you understand that, my God, somebody can not only be talked into something, you can adopt the beliefs of your captors. You can actually adopt the beliefs and turn against everything that the Hearst family had ever provided for her.
Oh, and that's been proved over and over again in in factual books. That there are so many cases. It's
you have the young lady here, Dugard, who has actually apologized for having bonded with the man that kidnapped and fathered her two children. She actually apologized.
I read that.
To her mother.
But you can understand, Leonard, if you've been through that, that shell, that defense mechanism that takes over.
And all the things you stated about Misty, it's very accurate. Not educated, low intelligence level, horrible background. Now she's married to the man that she probably doesn't want to testify against.
There you go. Thank you.
But in Florida,
Thank you.
In Florida, that don't cut it. That's
right.
All wives take.
Different law.
It's a different law.
Take her to Canada. Make sure you can pay her bills and put her in a witness protection program for a minute, for a good minute, and you will find the truth out.
I think so.
She's been the fall girl.
Yeah. Mm. I think she's the one that that knows who was there. She knows why they were there, and it wasn't her fault that they were there. I think she was there babysitting the child, but I think she was there because at the time, somebody came to collect the debt or something. I don't know. Bill knows more about that than I do.
I'm going to let that slide. She's the phone girl.
Leonard, I think also if you go back to several days before, and I was able to document, and certainly Bill knows all these people. He found them, the folks she was partying with, and there was some heavy drug use over a 3 or 4 day period, so that she would possibly be in a state where she might want something else that night, and may have left to get that urge fixed. And that's something that we don't really know about.
Well, I think if she was there that night, she wasn't physically there, and if she was in the trailer, she had no control over the situation.
Let me just throw one little slight curveball at you that you can pick it up off the 911 tape and everything else, and here's the deal. She was supposed to have called law enforcement long before that, and why didn't you do it? I fell asleep. Go back and look at your 911 tapes. I've asked for updated copies. We've finally been able to peel that off, and she said, I fell asleep. It wasn't that I was asleep. She fell asleep. She was supposed to contact law enforcement. She's the fall girl. She's the fall girl.
Okay. I need to break in here. We have a lot of callers on the line. But before
you got all these gangsters on the telephone here.
Right, and we do indeed have a gangster on the phone. And
two of them. You got a godfather and a Denny man.
Well, I want to go to the lead gangster, Denny.
Yes.
You're so quiet. You should
know. He's taking notes for his next book.
Yeah, there you go, Denny. That's what I've been saying. You better cut me in, Denny. I got trouble, baby.
Don't worry. I always take care of my friends.
Denny, I mean, this show is anarchy. You've got to shout up. You've been listening in. Give us your thoughts on what you've heard so far.
Well, first let me say, I always find when I'm talking, I'm not listening. When I'm not listening, I'm not learning. So that's why I shut up quite a bit of the time.
God, and, I wish I could help that.
and try to find out what's going on. Well, it's absolutely, to me, as a writer and a crime buff, just fascinating stuff. And a Misty wanting to take this last polygraph deal with Tim Miller, I don't know. Now, I understand she has a lawyer. Would this have been over the objection of a lawyer, her lawyer? Did he want her to do this? Or?
My understanding.
He didn't know about it.
I'll bet he just had a hemorrhage when he heard about it.
Well, he accused Tim Miller of being, less than genuine and, trying to find his client and sort of somehow hoodwink her into talking when, in fact, he was the one who was called. Isn't that right, Leonard?
I think it was a situation where it was set up by a third party for her to call, or not her, but one of her family members to call Miller. And a lot of times, Bill will tell you this, we work in a 5% of hell, and then when we get to that 5%, we work in a corner of it. So we know how to get people to call us.
Mm-hmm.
And not be responsible for the phone call.
The
attorney, we can sit there and say, well, I got the phone call, but it was a third party that set up the phone call for Misty's family member.
Well, the attorney.
Well, I believe it was Ronald's mother wanted. Ronald's mother, I believe, wanted.
I'm sorry, Art.
Yeah, I think that wasn't it. Is that Ronald's mother, after the police put the word out that they wanted more information from the public, the word was put out that, that the family now wanted Texas EquiSearch to come in and search, and it was during that that her, her mother-in-law reached out to Tim.
But
and
I think it was as a result of a third party contacting her.
Yeah,
that's
right.
My understanding.
Miss Neves, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The attorney flat out said no, but she went ahead and did it anyway, and you're right. Hemorrhage hell, he pissed down the side of his leg when he heard that shit.
Okay, we do need to hit the switchboard. Not everyone has free long distance. And the caller from area code 360 has been patiently waiting for a very long time. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, Simon. It's Queenie. I just wanted to find out what everybody thought of why Misty wanted to clear her name. Why she thought that would clear her name, doing the polygraph, and all the other tests.
She was reaching out, like Godfather said, like Mr. Padilla said. She was reaching out, and she didn't have any clue that this thing was going to be flipped around on her. You know what I mean? She had the right idea going about it, but she had higher expectations of trust than what she received.
Sometimes when a person is cornered, you do things that you figure you can control, and a person that's growing up on the streets, you can ask 9 out of 10 people that grow up on the streets, and they figure, I can get past a lie detector test. But they don't understand that some of these things, you just can't get past them. And even if you tell the truth, you might not get past them. So they're dangerous things to mess with.
TJ,
yes.
Why on earth did she agree to do this polygraph?
Well,
it's the silliest thing I've heard.
Well,
family pressure.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure going on there, and there's a lot of not only family pressure, but there's also some community pressure. L.E. just put it out there in a big old billboard sign, hey, you see this girl, this Misty girl? Did you see her the night the baby disappeared? Yeah, well, we want to know about it, and we want you to come forward about it. Now, Putnam County is not necessarily the most populated county, and there are a lot of people who know virtually everybody and everything that they do. It's for the most part, neighborly outside of a few sort of weird crime cases. So that is a great deal of pressure. On top of that, you're on national television. It gets blown out there on the Nancy Grace show. Hey, guess what? It doesn't appear that Nancy's saying this. I didn't. Nancy's saying it appears that this girl wasn't home. at the time of the abduction. So if you've seen her, let law enforcement know. She paraphrased it, of course, for accentuation. So you've got all that pressure coming on you. You're 17 years old. You're like going, please, dear God, I'm 17 years old. Leave me alone. So what do? Well, you look for someone that you think you can trust, as Leonard and Bill both said. Reach out to Tim, see if he can help you. Take that polygraph. If you think that you're going to pass it, you know, what do you know? In fact, what did she know about her FBI polygraph? She thought she passed that, too. Guess what? Those people who took those polygraph tests have no idea, other than the fact they're not sitting in jail, whether or not they passed or failed.
Right. Absolutely. You never know whether you pass it. But take one statement that she made. It goes along like this. It says, I didn't have anything to do with it.
The situation, not the child. Oh, boy.
It.
You see, folks, it's all the words. It's all the words, and words matter in this. And you, just like you said, sir, you pay attention to every little word. And, Bill, you said it, too, in the 911 call, too. Analyze it.
Linda, call me Cobra. The godfather over there ain't going to know who the hell you're talking about.
Okay, Cobra, I'm sorry.
Well, hey, PJ, great reporting. It's art. I just was struck by what you know, she told me off camera when I interviewed her you know, after the Today Show. And you know, she of course went over everything and denied it and was very teary. And but then you know, she said, I said, well, what about a lawyer? And she said, well, only guilty people need lawyers.
That's right.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Boy, I tell you, that stuck with me for weeks, Art.
Yeah.
And she meant and
so,
she meant it.
Yeah, so she may really feel she's not guilty. I mean, O.J. had this ability to compartmentalize, but that's more of a real sociopath. I don't think necessarily that she has
knows,
that depth.
She knows she didn't have anything to do with what led up to that child being taken in retribution for whatever took place. She knows she didn't have anything to do with that. She knows she didn't have any part of the planning of that child being taken for retribution or in lieu of payment. And therefore, she says, I didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
And then add on top of that, TJ, you know, remember what Nene told me that Missy had told her when she picked her up after she and Ronald got in a fight, you know, about 3 days before that last weekend, that he had allegedly curled her up in a ball and tried to squeeze her upon learning that she was, she said she was pregnant, and that there was an altercation, and so she ran. And called Misty, and you know, so obviously that there was you know, some at least fear of what was going to happen to her at home.
Indeed. And Art, aside from all this, and I hate to play inside baseball, we need to speak immediately after this. Something just hit me like a bolt of lightning, and you have it, and it could be your Pulitzer Prize on a silver platter. But I need to transfer some information to you, sir.
Great. Well, we'll talk after, and I may have to cut off early to catch a plane, but I'll look forward to it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to the 862 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us? Hello, 862. Okay, we'll just move right along.
Thank you. I'm just listening in, actually. Thank you very much.
Okay, no problem. Let's move on to the 417 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, this is Mickey. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Yes, I have an observation and a question. I look back at when she's done those interviews, and I find it strange at the very beginning when she said, I would never do anything to that girl. It's like she's disassociating.
Compartmentalizing.
You know? Yeah, like it's not a person to her.
Well, by the same token, what she's saying is, I didn't have anything to do with it.
That's right.
Yeah,
but it comes back to the
hit. She said so many things, though. I mean, I totally believe in what you think about Casey, but... Just because, I mean, there are mean women out there anymore, and I don't understand why, at first, you know, some people don't think women do it, and I'm a woman.
Have you done
you know,
it?
Why they have to have, huh?
Have you done it? Have you, what, you trying to tell us something?
No, in fact, I know there's more men killers, but... Women can do it for various reasons too, and
I just have a funny feeling
she doesn't. Her body language, she doesn't look scared to me. the way she walks and
she's very,
you know,
I mean, I've been with her.
And,
yeah, I got to tell you, being with her, she does have a very kind of uptight, controlled demeanor. And it's someone who is trying to maybe keep it together and doesn't quite know how. And so there's this flat affect when she speaks, you know, unless she really starts to break down. But you wonder who she's really crying for.
She's a 17-year-old off the streets, and you can't beat anyone.
But 17-year-olds can be sociopaths when they're 10.
Yeah, that's true. But in this particular case,
I mean,
she's got something that she doesn't want to talk about.
She is not, but then she should. But what's to be afraid of? If somebody went, if she went and told you, or Cobra, or the police, they could put her in witness protection. But yet,
I don't think she's afraid of police. I think she's afraid of other people involved in the situation, including Ron.
Okay,
yeah,
and I still think they're doing drugs. And so Junior's in there. Why not take Junior too? If it was going to be somebody, you know, that did it in the family, to take him away and, you know, think they were being treated wrong.
Well, two's a lot tougher to handle than one.
There, it has something to do with her, something she saw because she was older, something she didn't like what was going on, and somebody got scared. And it might have been her when she went home. Maybe she accidentally did it and freaked out. Maybe Ron accidentally did it and thought
she was okay.
There's
no signs of that in the police
report. There's
no
signs either, Leonard, of any of stranger abduction in the house.
I don't think anyone is going with the stranger abduction story. I mean,
please. And then that bed being made, and the laundry being washed, and going to the other bathroom. There's a bathroom right there in her bedroom, and she went to the bathroom all the way in there and happened to see the light.
Well, I tell you what, our cameraman from CNN got kind of stuck in that bathroom door with his camera, if you remember right, because we had a great picture of the ceiling there for quite a while until we got him up. He was kind of turtle back in there, you know. but let's go back to what you said about the bed, because that is something that was in the report on the Texas Equisearch website written by Steph Watts, that and I followed up with Ellie on this as well. Ron, Steph Watts claims that Ron might not be buying the story. I hope I'm paraphrasing this correctly, that bed was made when he came home, meaning that she wasn't there. Now they also say that police confirmed that. Well, when I talked to police only confirmed that that's what Ron said. So there's some parsing there, and there was a little hemming and hawing until we got to that point finally where those words were used. So I'm also believing that that is another inconsistency, and I'm 95% convinced that what was said on that site was accurate.
Let me say goodbye. I got to rush to meet with these folks. It's been a pleasure.
Okay,
Bill,
bye, Leonard.
Okay, Bill,
bye,
you keep your chin up. Danny, keep writing. Simon, you keep reporting. TJ, give me a call when you get a chance.
Will do, sir.
Leonard, I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Yes. Okay, you bet.
Be careful. He's going to go talk to Padilla, what's his name's boys, and you know, the biggest thing that he's got is the child was accidentally dead, and that's what, if I was the lawyer, that's the way I'd be going, because if they mess with the godfather there too much, they're liable to have their girl doing two life sentences.
Well, I'm pretty certain that Leonard is off Baez's Christmas card list. But...
Hell yeah, he is. Hell yeah.
But I mean, that's...
But you know what? That just goes to show you that some lawyers just ain't too smart. If he had signed a deal for a penny, they wouldn't be going through this right now. He'd be cloaked and daggered. He couldn't say a damn thing, not even get on your show and give any kind of, you know, whisperance.
Okay. A lot went on this week. Art, what do you think is going to be the next step?
Well, I want to go back and just review. Remember, for so long here, everyone was complaining that law enforcement wouldn't say a word, was playing it close to the vest. What they were doing is trying to wire up the naked underbelly of sources in that small town to come forward and, you know, make a deal, whatever. Anybody who would you know, would be able to withstand, you know, cross-examination in the courtroom, who come off as credible, who could testify they saw Misty out that night. No one has come forward. So suddenly, here we go, 6 months afterwards, they come out with a statement that puts incredible pressure and destabilizes the situation. I mean, in its desperation, if you see that, I think it's brilliant. And that it suddenly everybody's scrambling for cover, and things are going to unravel, I think, as TJ said, pretty quickly, as you know, people try to grab, you know, grab for the life vest.
TJ,
you're right, Art. You nailed it again, as usual.
TJ,
yes,
you share the same view.
Yes, I'm sorry, I was taken away here for just a second. I was having a very bad sneeze attack, but I'll say yes because Art won't lie.
You won, TJ. You'll
say yes just because you like to agree.
TJ, I was just saying that that law enforcement, after playing it so close and trying to wire up their sources, finally,
yes,
you know, decided to deputize the public. And the downside, the upside of that is it's kind of brilliant in it, and it destabilizes the situation and it puts pressure on folks. They want to come forward to shake up.
Arthur, I totally agree. That is exactly what happened, and you can feel the pressure in the community. I mean, that's the scuttle on the street. Hey, you know, what do you know? Hey, what do you know? Hey, what do you know? Suddenly there's interest again. Suddenly there's people starting to question things that they thought to be true. And when you include the community in on this, I mean, what's gonna make you the most nervous if you're someone involved in this case? What the world is saying about you, or what the people living right next door to you are saying about you? Well, if it's me, it's the person next door, because I see them. So, yeah, indeed, they did a very smart move by accentuating maybe about four items that needed to be done, and they lit the fire right when they needed to light the fire, and a good job, just an all-around good job.
I'm curious what you think about Ratgate. Could this have, you know, something to do with wanting to keep certain people quiet and not being able to thinking that different people can control people who may know something about them?
Well, Ratgate is an interesting thing unto itself, because as we're starting to watch this onion get unpeeled, the scent is getting stronger. And I gotta tell you, with Ratgate, I'm seeing two people who exuded some kind of control over Misty at different times in her life, in both of them recent times. I'm seeing a family member who may have exerted some kind of control over her while she was living at home, and now I'm seeing a husband who may have that same kind of unique power at this point too. And I'm starting to see what appears to be some form of a jealousy, or some form of a knowledge sharing, or some form of something that is really about to erupt and get very, very ugly very, very soon. This will be a potential third clash. You had the fight in the yard with the family members in Miss Sykes' front yard. Nobody really wants to say what that was all about, other than that Misty and her brother had been on the telephone with each other, and one of them wanted to come over, and it was late, and Ron would have nothing to do with that. You know, get out of my yard. And be quite honest with you, at that hour of the night, I don't think I'd want visitors either. And then you got the rat gate, the allegations, unproven allegations, that Ron had left a headless rat in the mailbox. Now, enter number three. Misty is saying things that make the Putnam County Sheriff's Office want to question her brother again, and it's a two-hour question and answer session. There was nothing that was, you know, verified there that would mean that he had to spend the night in jail. He was let go, but still, there is some yin and yang there, and it is just going to be an unholy mess when that finally breaks over.
So you think there might be some sort of jealousy, pressure, some sort of get even by a family member that Misty perhaps has been taken away from their clutches?
Yeah, there's something there. I don't know if it exactly relates to Haley, but to some degree I'm sure that it does. But there's a dynamic there that is just, it needs a lot of attention, a lot of inspection.
Yeah. Right. I hear you.
Okay. Now TJ became a damn investigator now. Watch him now. Be careful.
Oh, I'm just an old man.
TJ's on to something here.
They just call me Dr. Phil Billy.
Hey, how's it going, man?
The one thing
one.
I
Dr.
will
Phil
say
Billy.
About TJ is if you have a Sony Trinitron, don't ask him to carry it downstairs.
Oh, son of a bitch. Yeah. I, guys, I... I've been injured for a little bit here, and it seems like it happens. You know, the more you get past that century mark, you don't have the balance of the moves that you had on the football field when you were in high school. You know, I got this neat flat-screen TV. Oh, it was so light to bring upstairs. Then I'd take down the big old Sony Trinitron, and I'd go flying down about 5 cement steps, and my God, I want to tell you, I wish I was in a car wreck. It hurt less.
Do it like Simon, man. Simon throws the son of a gun out the window. Right, Simon?
We do have a lot of callers this afternoon. Look, let's go to area code 443. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Good afternoon, guys. I just did join in, and I don't know if you covered my question already or not. However, since this information about the polygraph and the voice analysis has come up, how are the Cummings, Teresa Neves, Grandma Sykes, and Ronald all handling Misty since they all defended her for so long?
Well, Misty has somewhat become her own spokeswoman as she was talking to First Coast News I think it was Thursday night. She said, that's it. I'm not going to, you know, have anything to do with Tim Miller and this, that, and the other, and this, and my husband, that, and what have you. But we never really heard from anybody else.
I was wondering, was that true? Was she just saying this because she was pissed off, or did they really say this?
She said that about herself. She never once actually spoke for anybody else, but she came across sounding like the spokesman for the family. She said, we, as in probably her and Ron, is how I understood it. Many others took it as everybody else, but I'm quite certain that everyone wants to find the little girl, and this might, although this is a very personally upsetting to Misty and personally upsetting to everyone in that family, that the mission to try to find the little girl is probably paramount here, and it needs to be examined. I don't think they're retreating quite as yet. I haven't heard anything to say anything to the contrary.
Well, I'm wondering also, TJ, if how much of the family, and how widespread the knowledge of, you know, of Misty's tough upbringing and some of the inner workings of that dysfunction, where it came from, how much they really know. And so, therefore, when Ron's mother, you know, as she did with me on camera, defended Misty as the best girlfriend he'd ever had, seemed to truly, you know, have great affection for her, that she may have certainly believed at that point and did not know about this Dr. Phil Billy angle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's possible. Possibly true. Now, they knew a lot about Crystal because Crystal had spent a lot of time with that family before the two were even dating. You know, so they knew. Now, Misty's family just wasn't all that far away geographically in the Satsuma area, and especially out there, I think, in the Hermit's Cove area, if I'm not mistaken. Geographically, they weren't that far away from each other, but I don't think they knew all the ins and outs of that family, you know, as they're being laid out at this point. I think they had a pretty good idea of the immediate family. And once again, when the Cousin Joe escapade took place, Teresa Neves said right there on TV, said, look, you know, the guy didn't come in carrying a sign. We didn't know, you know.
Well, you know, about that, TJ, I think it's fascinating. And I was talking to... you know, to Misty's, you know, her mom, Lisa, and her sister-in-law and brother, Cobra was there that day, certainly. I thought it was fascinating. They harped on Cousin Joe. They had several theories about who else it could be, all neatly, you know, summed up that we were thinking of chasing. And then, you know, you call over to Tennessee, because you got Cousin Joe, and he's been interviewed, ruled out. What's going on there?
Well, yeah, I got to tell you right there, you know, he was the first speed bump in this thing, and now it appears that Tommy might be the next speed bump here. And Misty's trying to avoid being a speed bump as well. And this deflection, it seems to be a family affair.
There you go.
And yeah. I'll just keep it at that. But it just seems to be.
Slam on brakes, Art, or TJ.
Yeah.
Slam on brakes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just seems to be something immediate family, the central family, knew something of this disappearance. Cousin Joe would be a guy who has done some time for some break-ins, and I believe he had a charge of a sexual nature in his record. I don't have the notes on him right now because it's been so long ago. He would be an easy target. I mean, why
yeah,
not?
Fact, yeah, sure. And also, but apparently the MO that they used to use to break in to these places was to put a brick or cinder block. So
certainly
it had it had a resonance there, TJ, that was fascinating to consider. You know, you wanted to go to, you had to go down that road for a while.
You did. I think it was one of the Michigan great aunts or grandmothers that brought that up and said, look, it had to be Joe. That's how he always broke into his house.
No. Let me tell you how it went down. When Art and I was there, and we started just a light interview as to what do they think, and then Art put them on camera and did the exclusive deal, they all tried to hand us Joe Overstreet on a frickin' silver platter. Did they not, TJ? I mean, Art?
No, that was the family theory.
Yeah.
And that he had access to the keys to the van, that he was staying over. And yeah, they were playing Agatha Christie or T.J. Hart. You know, they had the answer.
I think they were throwing us some other bait is what I think. I think they
yeah,
were
sure.
throwing us bait.
And
oh,
you remember
okay.
what happened
I want to throw
we,
in I want to throw in a very quick question from our chat room.
Someone wants to know about the rose. Anyone
great
got
question.
Any info on that? And then we're going to go to another caller.
Jay, what about you, buddy?
All I know about the rose is that that was something that came out of a conversation that Misty had with the panel that TES had put together, and they decided to follow up on it. And that's really all I know is where that came from, that plastic rose. She said that area hadn't been searched, and that's what's pretty much what they went on, and they organized the search, took care of it yesterday, fruitless. It did nothing came of it.
I mean, it really makes you really think about, I mean, your imagination takes off, at least mine does, TJ. What was it? Was it something that she may have remembered, that Haley had, or that someone she knew went out and dropped it in a spot as sort of a remembrance? Where did that come from? Does it have a tie? I mean, right now you've got to think if they found that rose, they're looking at every plastic flower shop in town to try to match it, and that's the kind of thing that the FBI would be brought in on, back in O.J.'s day when they had the shoe prints and had to try to match them to every possible shoe sole print, and they had an FBI expert who was an expert in shoe soles, and it was matched to the Bruno Magli line of high couture shoes that O.J. used to wear, and that was found at the crime scene. So you know, when you have that physical evidence, you can try to crank it into the system, and I'm just betting that's happening.
Yeah, all I can tell you is that L.E. is not saying a word about the search, what was found, what was not found, and I'm not hearing anything about the rose.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's sneak
rose.
Out to the switchboard once again. We have someone from the 443 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us? Hello, 443. Oh, they don't want to talk to us. Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, most people don't want to talk to me. Are we on the run to the finish line?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the pressure's on, and they had to come. They had to get to this critical juncture to get the pot boiling without it overflowing and getting scalding water all over the kitchen. And they've done sort of this controlled boil. And looking back, I mean, it makes me think about the old story of New Coke and Old Coke. Before you were born, TJ, Coca-Cola actually introduced a new diet soda, for Coca-Cola. They called it New Coke. Well, everyone who was weaned on the original formula growing up, like I was in Atlanta, they even gave it to babies to stop the colicky stomach, suddenly demanded that Coke bring back the old Coke. They were hoarding, they were buying these cases of Coca-Cola from the stores, and it was going for a premium. Suddenly Coca-Cola announces, we are bringing back old Coke and giving the consumers what they want. And so that accident turned out to be brilliant marketing strategy and bonded the, you know, the public with Coca-Cola, someone who listened and heard. Suddenly here you have, you know, have law enforcement that has gone down one track, and they decide to switch the formula to go public with something, and you know, something I think may be working.
Yeah,
I think so too, and they don't even have to pay Bill Cosby to be their spokesman either.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Might have to play Bill Stobbs though.
Actually, that's an interesting aspect.
Very.
What, paying me? Doing the old Coke?
Neither. You know, 6 months have passed, and I can understand why Putnam County opted to not play ball with the press.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's lots of good reasons. 6 months later, suddenly they seem to be somewhat more receptive to us.
Well, there's a combination. This happens. It happens when, you know, they really think that the press can help them keep pressure on the people they believe have buttons that need to be pushed. And for a long time, they wanted to try to quietly, you know, run through their list of informants and try to see who may know something about X, Y, and Z. And that didn't work. And so now they're deputizing, you know, us as they often do when they need that public, you know, to be jump-started like they did with TJ, and TJ did a great job on Nancy's show the other night. So, you know, that does rain, you know, rain some hail down on the locals.
Yeah, actually, I think TJ hit a record. I'm not sure it will make it to the...
Three nights in a row over 45 seconds.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure it'll make it to the Guinness Book of Records. But
I did have to shout down Brooks on Friday night, though.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, but I love him. He's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
I mean, pretty much 45 seconds with Nancy. I mean, you're a winner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Her earpiece wasn't working. Come on. I'm only kidding. I love her. I love her to death. I love her to death. I tell you what, she is a great advocate for those who have no voice.
Yeah,
and and that's where I think all of us are kindred spirits, folks.
Yep.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, you've been there too, but Jane Velez Mitchell has been, you know, certainly consistently, you know, trying to keep, you know, this alive. And I'm reminded by her book that's coming out. The title of it could really relate and may apply to the theme that we may see this case is all about, quote, secrets can be murder.
Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness.
And she wrote a book about how, you know, holding those secrets, those toxic secrets, you know, has led and can lead to, you know, certain terrible crimes.
You know something, she's cut from your bowl of cloth there, Mr. Art. She was a reporter for, I do believe, NBC for at least a couple of decades. Now, I don't know how she could do that with only being 27 herself. But,
right, right.
But I tell you what,
you're a hot mess.
But she went to Celebrity Justice, and we covered the first Jackson trial together. She's a great gal.
Mm-hmm. She's a great journalist. Reporter.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can't Misty, if she is lying, and even if she didn't do it, but she knows she did it, and when they find out, and I don't know if she did it, she might have, can't she be charged later with aiding and abetting?
She could be, but I don't think that's anybody's route to go down. It would be better just to find out what happened, like Godfather said, to find out what happened to this child, and let's take it one step at a time, and go that route. I think there's bigger fires to put out than her.
Right. But if she's so scared, you know, I mean, why?
Would you act if you were 17, brutally raped, tortured this way, that way?
I have been raped, and I didn't act like that when I was 17.
Yeah.
And if I knew a child was dead, I don't know. I would go find somebody I trust and tell them to put me in jail and tell the FBI to come there. That's
what
I
know
did.
A lot more,
but
you know how but you know how the system works. Like I said, I don't know how sophisticated she is, and you know, I'm sure her lawyer is very very astute, that if it starts getting into a race to the finish line and she knows information and might somehow be implicated, it would be a very smart strategy to strike a deal where she then
right.
begins to testify against the people who may be involved and offer her some sort of protection.
Absolutely.
But didn't they move already?
Doesn't matter where they go, honey. This right here is going to be tracked into the end of time.
Okay, so if the FBI finally finds out what's going on, then she'll be, you're saying she's going to be in witness protection because their family's that drastic?
Well, not necessarily.
Believe it. It's this drastic that nobody wants to open their mouth until now that all of a sudden some things are starting to pop off. Yeah, I'd say that whatever that thing is called, yeah, she's scared. Hell yeah, she's scared and she needs protection.
And what about Ron?
Right now, I have no comment on Ron, but as far as Misty, I'm worried for her safety every day.
Hey, Bill, Cobra, in the chat room, a lot of people are asking, how do we know that Misty was brutally raped? Where is
right.
the
Well, listen, there's a young feller, younger looking than my 12-year-old in Florida State Penitentiary right now for doing something with Misty, and I'm sure all those bloggers know about that.
Yeah, I've seen
that.
Well,
a lot of people have been sexually abused and raped, and then... I don't know. Is Haley not? I mean, she needs to. I mean, even if she can't be around Ron, you know.
They're madly in love with each other. You know, you got a 17-year-old girl that nobody has loved all this time.
17? I don't care. 17, you're putting an age limit on. A lot of people have been raped when they're 15.
Well, let me ask you a question, ma'am. If you don't, give me a age within 10 years. How old are you?
And right now I'm 50.
Okay. Back in the day when you and I was growing up, because I'm 52, back in that day, different story. This day, whole new story. And this
no,
girl,
because I was raped when I was 15, and I was raped again, and somebody broke into my house. And you're right, it was hard then, but I didn't hurt anybody.
Did you do drugs at the time? I mean, do you
no.
want to go into that? But, all right, well, see, you got a girl on drugs. You got a girl that's been abused by her own family
what?
People as well, and now she's being under the thumb. Ron's kept her over there with no cigarettes, this, that, and the other. A lot of abuse. She's a prisoner.
Well,
she's a prisoner.
He kept her. I know, and if she's a prisoner... And she's so scared, I'd get the hell out of there. I don't care.
Where are you going to go?
Because usually, people that are raped can be survivors.
Well,
if she
is
that scared. Because if he gets
there.
Mad
you
at her and I've heard him being abusive over the phone, then how do you know all this stuff? She could
because
just be
I've
saying
been there,
that.
And I've looked in her eyes and I've talked to her. I know.
But...
And the mind is very strange in what it will do to try to protect itself and to protect you in terms of surviving, and maybe she's gone into this emotional mental crouch that she's lived in for so long because she doesn't know where the next blow is coming from. With that, listen, Simon, I got to run to the airport. I really appreciate you thinking of me and a great show and great to be with everybody today.
Art, always a pleasure to talk to you.
I'll talk with you soon, Art.
Give me a holler. Thanks to you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Art.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I just want to remind our listeners that our switchboard is open. It's 646-378-1120.
Simon.
So if you have a question or a comment, give us a call. And on that note, let's go to the switchboard. We have someone coming in from the 828 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, Simon. This is Diana from North Carolina again. I've called a couple of times before. I wanted to know what maybe you, TJ, Cobra, think about the search yesterday in relation to the Rose. It's my understanding they started there. Is that correct? Or any other info you may have on it?
I believe they started just behind the house out toward that that tract near and around the Rose was my understanding. I was not there in person yesterday, as I couldn't have been there, so I had to rely on my stringers. But the Rose is definitely the focal point. That tract of land, that area was the focal point of the search.
Okay. And the Rose, was that brought up by Misty or by other family members first? There's a lot of
my understanding. It was Misty during the conversation with the team that was assembled by Tim Miller's EquiSearch during some of the questioning, and it came out as just a comment that just came out, and they decided to follow up on it just in case, because her comment was, "I don't think that area has been searched very well." And it had nothing to do with aha, a clue, aha, a Rose. That's just someplace, something that was a marker that for some reason it reminded her of that area. From what I've been gathering from the report, that's what triggered that she remembered it because of the Rose, and she remembered that in her mind that area, to her belief, was not searched that well. So they went out and just researched it. Now, they're going to conduct other searches, we've been told, probably coming up in about 5 weeks or so, maybe even four, once the vegetation gets under control. As anybody who's ever been in Florida this time of year knows that it's when you start getting the afternoon rain showers, everything gets green and viney, and it gets very tough to get through. And Cobra could tell you, he's been searching in the swamps and the woods. It's tough to navigate and get through there. And once the vegetation kind of peels back and dies down a little bit here in September, maybe the first part of October, they'll be able to get a cleaner, better shot at going through some of the very thick and very heavy vegetation in the area of Putnam County.
Hey, Seth. Not you. I was talking to my cat. Sorry.
Okay.
Cat probably knows.
On that same note, are there areas there underwater for a long period of time like there was in the Kaylee search?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, Bill's been out in the water. I mean, the Cobra's been out in the water. He can tell you.
Hey, Godfather's gone now. We go back to Bill now. I just wanted to make sure he knew I was over here.
Okay, gotcha.
Don't matter, TJ. Friggin' you.
So, go ahead.
No. If you have another question, carry on.
That's what I always say in the chat room I'm in a lot of times. I think my other question is that, Cobra, God bless you for what you do. I think you've taken a lot of heat from certain groups over this whole situation and the amount of funds you've had to spend on your own.
Yep.
And I think it's wrong.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing. Keep asking for what you need to ask for, and keep trying to get help from anywhere possible. The longer we keep her out there, the quicker we'll find her, we hope.
Well, September 3rd, coming up here real quick, is Thursday. I'll be in court that day. And on that day, I think you're going to be shocked to find out they're going to add charge me again. So they're steadily after me, and I'm steadily stepping forward. And hopefully in the end we'll find Haley. And I can go live down in Mexico or something, you know. Who knows? I don't know.
Mexico? You can't be in Mexico and do all your searching like you do.
I'll be the out-of-country guy from now on.
I hear you. Thank you for what you do. Thanks for letting me on the phone, guys. I'll be in touch next week, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Simon. Once again, folks, our dial-in number is 646-378-1120. Denny! I heard you holler from the fringes.
Yep.
I'm hollering my hands up. listen, I got a comment and then a question. The comment, first of all, if I understand what the panelists have said, the thought is that this developments this past week maybe indicate the floodgates are opening and that things might break here very shortly. And certainly that's welcome news. I know I've been frustrated, and I'm not as close to it as some of the other folks. But my question is, if we can play the speculation game for a bit, I think pretty much everyone's in agreement that this was not a stranger abduction. It was somebody that knew the family or what have you. And a lot of the scenarios I've heard are that it was the – Haley was taken to teach Ron a lesson or send a message or that type of thing. Under that scenario, does anybody have an idea or a guess to what the kidnappers' end game was when they made the snatch? In other words, were they going to keep her for 6 months? Were they going to keep her until Ron did or did not do a certain thing? Did they ever intend to give her back? I mean, does anybody can get in the kidnapper's mind and speculate as to what the plan was after they took her? What were they going to do with her and for how long?
That's actually a great question. I like it. I'm going to go to TJ first.
Good. Thanks.
And I know why Cobra is saying that, too, because I've got this out. I've got this out of my crime board at home, but I am not really willing to show all of what I have at this point. But I do have a strong suspicion that what is going on there is probably quid pro quo regarding a money situation. And I'm going to say right now is that it's a money that I believe it was a money situation.
Would it be money for drugs?
I don't want to go there yet. I don't, guys. I try to report the facts, and I. That's all the farther I want to go.
You got my parents going.
North. Okay. In that case, I'm going to go to Cobra. Cobra has absolutely no ethics.
Well, Simon, being that I'm working very, very closely with someone else, dear friend of mine, that I won't mention any names, I'm going to stay on his board at this juncture. And, Denny, I don't mean that to bat off of you, but if TGA and I were to start revealing those cards right now, and with all the people that are listening, we may push this thing into another direction. I would rather just let it roll out how it's going, and then you'll have a quiet ending for your book. Otherwise, you won't never get this damn thing to publisher because you won't be finished.
Everybody be getting their asses sued off, that's why.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough, guys, I understand.
But only I'd leave it to you to come up with some shit like that to have to put us on the spot.
I love it, though. That's why he gets to wear the hat.
Yeah, well,
I tell you, okay, I'm going to go along the same line of questioning.
Oh, shit.
You know, the $64,000 question. Who is she protecting?
How about Ronald? I'll give you that.
It's not Ronald. That's
a Ronald. That's a good answer. To Ronald McDonald. Hey, but one thing I want to say, though, Denny, I don't mean to disrespect you. Just my girlfriend kind of blinked at me there for a second. Listen, don't send none of them curly-headed dudes to my house, you know, them mobster guys. They ain't going to beat it out of me or nothing else. I can't, man.
Well, Cobra, I will say this. He does remind me of an abuser, but he wasn't home that day.
Oh, so they say. So they say. And who said it happened at night?
Because of the way he treated his first wife.
Well, who said it happened at night?
No, they did. It could have happened yesterday, and they both covered it up because she was scared.
No, you don't understand. It was 3 a.m. when she realized the child was missing. Okay, so nobody said she was gone at 3 a.m.
That's true, and it could have happened the day before he went to work.
It could have happened at 7 o'clock that evening because I only hear cover-up stories being told now to say I was there and I saw this and I saw that, but TJ and I both know that there was other things seen, and if anybody was seeing, because we know, don't we, TJ?
Yes, we know, and yes, we can't. We're not going to go there right now.
No. Here's another question, Simon. That was too hard.
Jeez, I need my tablets.
Yeah, put one under the tongue.
The nitro.
Let's go back to the other awkward question. The four people in Misty's dream.
Oops.
Anyone want to mention any names?
Not at this point, I don't. The names that I heard have been given to law enforcement, and I gave them my word that those names aren't going to be uttered, and that tape's not going to be heard until There's some kind of a clearance going on there. It would make for delightfully entertaining radio. It would make for wonderful blogging. It would make for great internet presence and all that fun and fury. But you know what? People's lives are hanging in the balance, so I'm going to forego the entertainment and make sure that nobody gets killed, and hopefully this leads to wherever this child may be.
Very sound answer. I ditto that one, Simon, so move on.
Actually,
I hope nobody took that as a shot across the bow, but it was.
No,
I want to get deadly serious for a second.
We just
This case is moving,
yes.
And it's moving very quickly. It's taken 6 months, but suddenly, you know, things are happening. And, you know, I may joke with Bill or TJ.
But never Denny.
But, I mean, yeah, this case is moving along, or at least that's my perspective.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, TJ?
Nope. I'd say that we're approaching the finish line. I'd say we're probably at the third turn and maybe not the fourth, but we're gaining ground on it, and we're gonna see how this plays out. I think what Art had mentioned earlier in the show about the Putnam County Sheriff's Office putting the pressure on when they did and changing their tack when they did on August 17th has proven to be the game changer right now. And without doing much other than saying, we need some information, and this is the information we need, Katie barred the door, look what happened. And then opening their arms to people who want to help search, Texas EquiSearch, and others, as long as they stay within their legal authority and don't supersede their bounds, you know, look what happened. They're there. We have other people who are now scouring their brains trying to figure out, oh, God, that was 6 months ago. That was February. What do I know about this? And believe it or not, people are feeding law enforcement information still. And I don't have an accurate count on how many pieces of information came in over the past 2 or 3 weeks, but I'd be willing to bet that Captain Piscatello, Lieutenant Greenwood, and Major Boland would agree that there's been a spike in leads. And
They made an actual stellar move. I'm not going to blow their ratings up real high because I get accused of being their spokesman on your radio show, Simon. But Dominic Piscatello is doing a hell of a job up there and playing his cards good. And the ball started to dribble, and we don't want to get in there and cause somebody else to do a double dribble. We want to go ahead and let's see the game play out now.
Yeah, well, you know, we're right now, the you heard of pressure defense in basketball. This is called a pressure offense. They're on offense right now, and they are controlling the ball. They're controlling the tempo and the pace of this game, and they're doing it very, very well. Never underestimate this group, and I get accused of being shaking the pom-poms for them too, but I got to tell you, there are things that I understand and things that I know from experience what they're doing and why they're doing it, and also I understand my role being a member of the press that we can be used, and people will say, yep, you're a useful idiot, all right, but we can be used in order to shift some attention, shift some focus, and perhaps get the public moving in a different direction or a direction that needs to be paid attention to in order to get some information regarding a case. This is not easy. It's not, here's your press release, run with it, go with it. You have to have a pretty good understanding of what's going on there in order to put that out the way it needs to be put out.
That's why you've got to put it out, baby.
You know, TJ, we've talked many times.
Two or three times a day, my friend.
Yeah, right.
Hell, he's got me beat, little prick.
Another one of my best friends. the press is law enforcement's friend if they want the press to be.
Yes.
But For 6 months, they haven't.
There was a reason for that. They had so much information to go on at that point, so many things to get through. And sometimes people start talking when law enforcement is not talking to fill the void.
Right.
And sometimes when it's all quiet, some people think, oh, the pressure's off. I can speak freely now. And that's when they step on the rake and boink, they get it right between the eyes. You know, you let a jackass think that he or she's scot free, and the first thing they want to do is tell the world how they beat the system, or how they beat somebody, or how they beat something.
Right.
Simon.
Yes.
Simon, you know, the last couple or 3 weeks we've talked a little bit about media coverage and how it had died down, and we speculated what it would take to get the case back front and center. And my contention has been that the periphery issues, such as the custody battle and that type of thing, or releasing the balloons on Haley's birthday and so forth, would get maybe short-term coverage. It might be a story for a day or a couple of days. Then it would fade. And I've said that it would take a case-related break, something regarding the actual disappearance, to get rejuvenated in the media. I consider what's happened this past week to be case-related news, and I think it's having the effect of getting the media refocused on the Haley case. I'm wondering if TJ agrees with me, and if so, is this going to be part of maybe a snowball effect with the police using their pressure techniques, the media now getting back involved, which will create more pressure? Is that a possibility?
I think you're on the right track there, definitely.
Yeah, and Denny, one thing I'd like to say, last week, you know, I don't know too much about the Echo Search feller down there, and I don't know too much about Nijame. I did reach out to Nijame, and he didn't seem figured he could help me in any way, but early on. But now I do not want those two fellers' efforts to go void, because they did do something, even if somebody thinks that they did wrong or this, that, and the other, at least they got this damn thing primed up, ready to go again. And I would just pray that press, law enforcement, and everybody else would not let the efforts that Tim Miller did and that Nijame did fall to the wayside, because I think they did a marvelous thing. And Nancy Grace, to quote her and to quote my old friend Sherman, they said, hey, whatever this man could do to get this thing out there again, so what? He's a civilian, and he did this, and oh, shame on them. But now we got something to go on, and whatever hook or crook or whatever it took, do it. And I said, man, I just hope that applies to me as well. But please don't let these efforts of EquiSearch and Nijame that they've already done. I mean, some think it was a little left-handed, but you know what? Screw it. We're going forward again.
Also, I want to remind everybody a little thing that was toward the end of that press release that was issued by the Putnam County Sheriff's Office. Beware of who you talk to. If you live in the Putnam County area, or your friends or relatives of Ron, Misty, Crystal, all sides of the family, because you better be asking for verification and identification much as you would a police officer. If somebody claims to you that they are a reporter, ask to see their credentials. You need to do that, because there's a lot of misinformation being let out there on the blogs by folks who are trying to make a name for themselves in the new media. I don't fault them for trying to make a name for themselves in the new media, but be credentialed, be credible. If you're one of these who are trying to be upstart, be a reporter and have your own website going, go about it the right way. Get yourself credentialed, and also, folks, ask for those credentials. This playing field is so different. I think that's one of the reasons why it was so quiet, because now we have a very, very, very active blogosphere, and there's really not a whole lot of controls on the blogosphere. In a way, I'm for that. It's pure First Amendment. That's great. But at the same time, be careful who you speak to and what you're saying, and ask for those credentials.
I'll just add to that.
I don't suppose you'd want to name names.
I will. I sure will.
No, I don't want to name names, because there are a lot of people out there. There's a fellow by the name of Murray. hurt, I guess, that there's already been a thing out on him. And there have been other people who haven't even, set foot in the area, and they've probably close to about 60 who've not, been even there in Satsuma, roughly 60 at last count, that are doing stories on this. People from the Northeast, people from out West, and be careful.
Well, as many of you know, I was a hillbilly, Dr. Philbilly in this thing, and somebody told me they was with the press, and I started talking to them, and now we've come to find out that they ain't nothing to do with no press, just trying to get the name out. And now website is blowing up hell out there, and that's one I'm directing mine to. Calm down, little feller. Calm down.
Okay, let's try and squeeze in a couple of calls. We're going to be losing our live feed in about 15 seconds, but my producer will keep the show on. Area code 386, what's your name and what's your question for us? 386? Okay, we'll just move right along. We have someone coming in from area code 773. What's your name and what's your question for us?
Hi, Simon. This is Colleen from Chicago. But I'm not a gangster, even though I am from Chicago.
You're okay, sister. You're from my neighborhood. I like it. It's all good, okay?
Okay. I had one comment and one question. And the comment I had was regarding what you were speaking about earlier about Casey's defense. If Kaylee did die accidentally by falling into a pool, that doesn't explain Casey partying like it's 1999 almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
If you pull in the syndrome, there's some kind of syndrome that goes along with that lost where they try to
fill the void.
Soul. Uh-huh. I forget what it's called, but there are people that act like that. Yep.
No,
yeah,
I don't want my
kid
that.
Well, I mean, it don't sound normal to us, but it is.
Oh, it's
that
I only have 5 minutes. Why? What do you need?
Yeah, I wanted to call Howard back.
All right, give me 5 minutes.
Okay. I did have a question, a technical question about Sir Kinetta. I've wanted to ask for a long time. Ari, if you're searching for someone, and if you're in like a swampy area where there's a lot of snakes. Are you able to use cadaver dogs?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you protect the dogs from the snakes then?
The snakes run away from you. They don't sit there and wait for the dog to come running down through there. I mean, the snakes will get out the way. There's been very, very few incidences, and dogs can take a snake bite. Most of the snakes over there ain't going to bite you. They're going to run.
Yeah, they don't come at you as a predator. They see you as a predator, and they're looking at self preservation. They'll only the biting kind will only come at you if they feel that they're threatened.
Okay, well, so you would put dogs in a swampy area with snakes?
I believe we already did.
I mean, now we're getting ourselves trapped in here. Nobody said we was putting a dog in just because it's a swamp area. There ain't a lot of snakes out there. I mean, there's snakes out there, but they ain't sitting around waiting on folks.
No, huh? No.
When they found Kaylee's remains, the police came out and stated that they had cleared the area with cadaver dogs earlier. And I was wondering, when those guys went back there and they found rattlesnakes, I was wondering how the cadaver dogs would be able to clear it.
There was one rattlesnake found out there, seen out there. And see, another thing about a rattlesnake, he'll let you know for the most part, and they'll crawl off. They're not going to sit there and mess around, especially when you have a herd of people. We used to keep snakes off the farm. We put a couple cows out there. They don't want to get stepped on, so they get gone. So you got that many people tramping around and stuff. It don't take them snakes long to find their hole and get in it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We need to wrap this up. I'm going to go round the table. And ask our panel for their final thoughts. TJ.
We're approaching the finish line. Let's see how this goes. Let's see how this plays out. I'm not going to handicap anything at this point. I just want to see where this leads us. Right now it appears that a lot of things are going to be revealed with some very frayed nerves, a lot of pressure, whether it is real or sensed, and I believe most of it is sensed. The pressure was basically some words in a press release, but the sense is the internal pressure that's being applied to Misty. We're going to see what happens with some other family dynamics, and we're going to see this pot slowly start to boil until it blows over. And I really do believe that we are heading toward the end of this, and hopefully that ending is with a very live child who comes back to Putnam County.
Okay, you get a check mark in the live child comment. Or
today I do.
Column. Let's go to Bill. Bill, what's your theory?
Pretty much I'm going to ride along beside Mr. Hart there, hoping that everything goes well. Let's pray for law enforcement. Let's pray for everybody that's involved in this case. Remember me in your prayers this week as I go to court. But I don't believe there's a live child no more, folks. And I just... The family politics play into this, and law enforcement is doing a great job, and I just agree with TJ all the way up to the, you know, I would hope, you know what I mean, but I'm also a very wise person. I'm not going to hope beyond hope. Let's just go ahead and tell us what happened, and we'll find out if she's alive or dead at that juncture.
Denny.
Yes, I think this is... Case-wise, what's happened in the past several days here is the best news I've heard in probably 6 months on this. I mean, and if we're all right, that this might be the beginning of the end, the start to the end, you know, that's absolutely great. I tend to think like Cobra regarding the dead alive issue. I've kind of now in the unfortunately... have gone to my thinking that is probably not going to have that good an outcome regarding a safe return. And one thing before, really, we were just talking about snakes, and it reminded me that I've been working on a script for a screenplay, and as I was doing it this morning, I got thinking about what a nice bounty hunter screenplay would be. And I got a title in mind called When the Cobra Strikes. What do you want, Cobra?
Hey. That's beautiful, huh? Man. That's beautiful. You can have almost all of it. I mean, all of it.
all kidding aside,
that'd be
though.
Interesting.
All kidding aside, we ought to talk about that sometime because I think there's some potential.
Well,
for
listen,
that.
I've been begging for your email address to keep you indicted. Indicted.
I believe it's ex-master at. xmobster.com or something.
To try to keep you updated, not indicted. Jesus, my God. Well, you know, I'm talking to gangsters, and when I'm talking to gangsters, usually that's what follows next is an indictment of some sort.
Simon, can you send Cobra my email?
Oh, absolutely. I will do it directly.
Touch,
okay.
Thank you, Simon.
This is Simon Barrett, and I want to thank all of our guests for...
Wait a minute. Jan didn't say nothing. I want to hear Jan's closing thoughts.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just a softy. I just can't give up on the thoughts that she's still alive.
All righty.
And I just keep saying my prayers for her, that she'll be coming home safely.
I hope you're right and Cobra and I are wrong.
Yep, sure do.
I can't give up on it. Sorry.
That's right. That's right. It's very difficult. Now, hey. Simon, do your thing, baby.
TJ.
Yes, sir.
Do you think we're going to win? We're going to find a live child?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and don't even ask me why, because I don't know at this point. It's just a feeling that I have.
All right. So we're going to prove Cobra wrong.
Please do. Please, for God's sake, please do.
I'm telling you, all the evidence, you know, all of the statistics say that you're not going to find a live child. But in absence of a body and in absence of anything that looks like foul play other than someone missing, I got to go with my gut and I got to go with prayers. And call me an old softy or an old fool, but I believe that in spite of just being old, that baby is alive.
Well, I call you friend.
That's what I
friend.
Say.
That's what I call you friend. I call you friend.
Thank you, brother, and good luck on Thursday.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, Cobra, good luck on Thursday.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
We're going to be covering it.
Prayers will be with you.
I'm glad. I'm glad you are.
Best to you, Cobra.
Travesty.
Okay, folks. I got to close this show down. This is Simon Barrett for Blogger News Network, thanking everyone that took part today. Let's do it again next Sunday. And next Sunday might just be a special day. We might just be able to say, hey, this is our finale. We have a live Haley.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful thought?
Yes, brother. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. I'll say goodbye with that.
I'll say goodbye to you too, brother.
Wonderful show, everybody.
Thank you.
Hey, Gracie.
Thank you, TJ.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love y'all.
Bye-bye.